Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are, the end of April, headed to May, and there's lots of activity.
Yeah. No, you know what we saw this week or last week? I guess maybe it was this week. We saw the NASDAQ finally eclipse the levels that were hit back in 2000.
Right.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah, I know that was a big deal. Everyone was talking about it on all the shows.
Yeah, it's very exciting. You know, the big thing is that everybody's like, well, is it a bubble? Is it not a bubble? And then the daily goes, well, you know, it's a different NASDAQ today because
it's
back
a
then.
A bubble of sorts.
Yeah. So. There's all these kind of conversations. I find it kind of laughable. You know, you hear all these guys coming out. Half the time they talk about, well, the Fed is going to raise rates. And, they're going to be holding off for some period of time. And, you know, you go back and forth and it becomes just a mess. Don't you think?
Yeah. Well, the Fed kind of tells you what they're going to do.
Right. So what do we need all
and
the
analysis for?
And
they have not indicated that they're going to raise rates.
Yep. But there are those that need to predict.
Their mind. It makes no sense.
Yeah. So we did see that the NASDAQ hit a record. We saw that Amazon really had an amazing report. And they finally starting to make some serious money. And even though they are talking about continuing to spend, things are good. Then you have Netflix, we saw a report. We saw Microsoft. I don't remember the last time I saw Microsoft up 10% after an earnings report. Do you?
Oh, it was way when I was a kid.
That's when Windows was cool.
Windows was never cool.
Never cool?
I don't think so, no. Maybe Windows 95 was kind of cool.
Yeah, that was something totally different. And we saw who else came out. Google. Now, Google came out with earnings, and I was not so impressed with their earnings. The problem was that their clicks and their average pay per click was much lower.
Hmm.
And overall, the growth rate was okay. But, you know, because earnings come out, we have to do something with the stock, so we might as well bid it up. And then we finally saw Apple come out. Apple was out yesterday, and Apple sold another 61 million iPhones in the quarter.
Yeah. They're selling a lot of iPhones. A
lot of iPhones. And when you thought that the 74 million iPhones that they sold last quarter was impressive, I thought the 61 million this quarter was even more impressive because you would think that the 74 million was because everybody and their brother just couldn't take it anymore and had to go out and get an iPhone. And they couldn't, you know, even though the 61 million is a lot lower, it's still pretty substantial.
I thought their report was fantastic.
Yeah. And on top of that, they're going to be boosting their total share buyback to $200 billion.
That's a lot.
25% of the company they're buying back.
Yeah. Can I ask a simple question to you?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you really want to be buying your stock when it was low?
You would
or are
be,
they seeing this as low?
Right. They're seeing this as Tim Cook said that the Apple stock was undervalued in his opinion, which is the first time. You know, Apple doesn't have a habit of really talking about the level of their stock. And really, for the longest time prior to Tim Cook, which was only Steve Jobs, really didn't spend a lot of time talking about valuation of the stock, didn't do anything with capital allocations in terms of dividends or share buybacks.
Right.
And now they don't have much of a choice between the activist investors and the fact that they have so much assets and so much cash on the books. They have really not much of a choice. Plus, they're issuing bonds, raising their dividend, committed to raising their dividend on a regular basis over the foreseeable future. So I think that Apple was pretty impressive. Now, the markets didn't really get thrilled about it. They were happy about it when the number came out. But then today, I think Apple was down, 1.5%?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that?
Yeah. Yeah, I was watching one of the shows on the CNBC, and it was Cramer moaning about this.
Yeah, just so upset, just almost just terribly distraught that people would sell stock on such a news item.
Right.
Yeah. But overall, I thought it was good. I didn't see much. There was a lot of sales and a lot of uptake outside the U.S. China sales, I think, eclipsed U.S. sales. That was pretty impressive. iPad fell down a little bit. Wasn't what is expected, and a few other things were not terrific, but generally speaking, the numbers were fantastic. Now, we did see something interesting. You know, I always, you know,
moan. Well, you're going to mention Twitter, of course.
Well, that's what I was going to mention. You know, I'm always moaning and groaning about, there's just nothing exciting anymore. It's kind of very boring. Today we had some excitement. So at about, I think it's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, all of a sudden Twitter starts to belch. Stock starts to get a little bit cranky. And there's no news out and there's nothing going on. And you don't know, maybe just somebody's kind of into the earnings that were coming out in the evening. Somebody's, you know, trying to get ahead of it and maybe selling off some of their shares or whatever. Well, the stock's down about 3%, 4%. All of a sudden, we're looking and we're trying to find what's going on here. There's some kind of report about users and the average monthly users that's out. And there's some kind of vague discussion that I'm seeing flying around on some of the boards that I watch. And it was about, the earnings that are coming out and there was some leak. But none of it was at that time, at about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, that time was proven, right? So far it's just rumor. But okay, they could trade on the rumor. Well, meanwhile, it turns out that we did find out not too further on that the rumor was true. There was a leak of the actual earnings report. And they halted the stock. So the stock was down about 5%. And the numbers that we got were that the monthly average users were light. Revenue was a little bit light. Company beat on their fiscal. That was kind of what was out there, right? If I'm saying it was just kind of like that's what everybody was thinking was going on. So Twitter was halted. It was down about 5%. Now, this all started about 3 o'clock. So we found out this company, do you know, did I write down the company? It was kind of a serendipity or celebrity or celebrity, something like that. Some company I never even heard about. Somebody, I looked them up though. And this company does a scouring of news and provides that news information in machine-readable language. I looked further. What is that? So what they do is they scour for news and they pop it into a feed immediately that can be read by machines in order to trade on it. So the high-frequency traders and the algo traders and hedge funds have this set up. And when the news pops in, for example, if we have an economic release that comes out and certain words maybe are presented, they'll pop that through real fast. The computers then will react to it and trade on it. So this is the company.
Right, with no humans in the middle.
No humans. Nope. No interaction at all. So this is the company that released the earnings early. Now, I don't know why. Obviously, what happens a lot of times is a company will give the earnings and it'll be embargoed, right? Till, 4 o'clock.
But you can't tell a machine to embargo something.
Right. So somehow this thing got released. Stock is halted. Now, stock opens up at 345. Down 20%. The earnings come out. It is a fact that this leak was for real. And they missed on their revenues. The whole report was kind of lame. They matched on a few things. They beat on earnings. But their outlook was really poor, which was kind of interesting. So not only did the leakage have some information about their current, but there were some other things that were involved there. Stock opened up, down 20%, and just stayed right there. This guy, Dick Costello. Is his name Dick Costello? Costello?
Yeah, Costello is Costolo. I think it's Costolo.
He's a doofus.
I've never met him.
But you've seen him, right? You've seen him talking about, he's always a big BS artist.
Yeah.
Average users that we use, but, we think we can count, things like we count dead people in there because their accounts are still open. These stupid things, he didn't really say that, but, stupid things like that he talks about how, we count this and that's what's really important. Even though they don't use their accounts, we count the accounts anyway and tries to make a case for it.
Yeah.
Well, I think all this came home to roost. And we've been talking about how people are probably going to get pissed off with all the ads in there. I keep on clicking the button and saying tweet is offensive every time I see an ad.
Yeah, good.
Well, you're a big help today. I'll keep on going.
Well, I'm sorry. I'm actually scouring our picks and wondering what happened to our Twitter short.
Oh, that was a while ago. We made good money on it. I think that was the one we hit at 52.
Yeah, something like that.
And then it came back down.
Right, that's when you had a little tricky dipsy do you had to stick in there.
Trippy dipsy do. I like it. Tricky dipsy do. All right, so I thought this was an interesting story that we could probably dig into because it was so obvious but so horrifying at the same time.
What?
So Citi shareholders, Citigroup, are voting on a proposal demanding more information about the company's practice of paying executives who jump ship for government jobs. Citigroup is coming under criticism for the parade, the practice when Chief Operating Officer of Alternative Investments Jack Liu was picked to take over as the head of the U.S. Treasury in 2013, and they paid him like a bonus.
They paid him a bonus to go work for the government?
Yeah. How do you like that?
Kind of like pre-bribe.
Yeah, right, exactly.
We have a lot of this bribery stuff going on. I mean, we get the Hillary fiasco. Mm-hmm. It's all covered up by the volcano and by the earthquake and by the Baltimore. But this is a scandal.
Yep.
I mean, Hillary's being bribed while she's Secretary of State. And that's the words of Romney, not me. And now we see this, which is a form of pre-bribe.
Yep.
It's like, we're going to give you the money now for the, and just assume it's a bribe.
Right. Now, the proposal, which is also being voted on by Goldman Sachs, Morgan Stanley, and J.P. Morgan in the coming months, centers on the concerns that banks are trying to buy favor from government employees at the expense of shareholders. Now, just as a point of reference, the last sentence there, where they're going to buy favor from government employees at the expense of shareholders, I don't buy that. What they're trying to do is buy favor from government employees for the benefit of shareholders and the benefit of the company.
I agree with that.
Yeah. So I don't know.
How's it at the expense of shareholders? Shareholders should be happy that they're pulling a scam like this off.
Yeah. I think it's fantastic.
Yeah.
You go to work for the Fed. By the way, here's $1 million bonus before you go. You were great.
Yeah. You know what it means. Wink, wink.
You go work
for
the government.
You know what to do.
Yeah. You go work for the government just to let you know. If you go work for another firm, no, of course not. We're not going to give you a dollar. Unless, of course, it's in a position where you may be able to talk to us about what they're doing from a competitive standpoint, then we'll give you $2 million to leave. And of course,
what a scam.
Of course, your job is always available when you decide to come back. And we'll give you a good reference. You know what?
Why don't they throw the book at some of these guys and throw them in prison?
No, that's not going to happen. It's too much fun to watch. And of course, the banking lobbies and the banking groups are so strong. Nothing ever happens to them. When we talked about the story last week, that what's-his-face, the guy from MF Global, Corazine is going to be opening up a hedge fund. I mean, that right there should tell us everything we need to know about how this whole system works.
Yeah. Phil. How come he's not in jail?
Yeah. Nobody's in jail. You can bankrupt companies. You can swindle money. It takes years. I mean, Bernie Madoff, he was like the poster child for everything that's gone wrong. He went to jail. That's good, okay?
No, but he's the one guy.
That's it. He's the guy.
That's because you couldn't, because he didn't go to jail until the scam ended. That's the problem.
Do you know why he probably went to jail? Because he admitted it. As opposed to just saying, no, I didn't do that. And probably the thing would have been, all right, you didn't do it. Even though we see all the facts in front of us, you didn't do it. Fine. But Schmucko admitted it.
He actually should have stayed in his offices, acting as if nothing happened.
Yeah, nothing's going on.
And then flabbergasted that something like this happened. How did this happen right under his nose?
Yeah, he was hacked.
He was hacked.
Yeah, he was hacked. It fooled him, too.
By Russians.
He fooled him, too. This is terrible. Got to get to the bottom of this whole thing. This is awful. So he has something going. I mean, we've talked about this, but how he didn't let anybody in his office. I told you, I've seen his statements. I saw the actual statements that were sent out by his office to clients. They were a mess. What I mean by that was they looked awful. It looked like there was some old typewriter. And if you think about all the thousands of people that he had as clients, this guy, all he was doing was typing this stuff out all day, all night, every day.
Yeah, or he had a little team of about three people.
That was it.
That were doing the typing.
Yeah.
Send out, I know, it didn't even look. You could have done a much slicker job.
Much better. That was horrible. Maybe that was the whole scam.
Well, there's that possibility because, like, oh, it's all a big secret, so we can't even really run it through computers because we don't want anyone finding out our secret formula.
But the scams, there always will be scams. I mean, you kind of. They always fall out somewhere, but it's like, the old, in a high tide hides all problems. When the tide goes out and it goes super low tide, you see all the junk at the bottom. Now everything's being covered up. Like you said, just like all the scams being covered up by the volcano that clearly was the NSA who's providing all of the fireworks for the volcano, and the earthquake, which clearly is a combination probably of Russian, because you don't hear anything about Russia anymore, right? You know, Russia is probably creating some kind of an earthquake with some seismic mechanism that they have. Not to mention, of course, the bird situation. You know, all these birds being beheaded in the Midwest. Millions and millions of birds. What do you think that's going to do for chicken stocks?
I don't know, but it's going to bring your theories back into play about Chipotle.
Yeah, well, they went GMO. They said no GMO. So what Chipotle announced yesterday that absolutely no genetically modified ingredients will be on our menu.
How are they going to make that work?
I have no idea. But they took pork off the menu because they didn't like the way the pork was being killed. I mean, in the future, they're basically, you know, these groups are going to get hysterical about improper butchering of carrots. Carrots have feelings. You don't know it, but if you put a particular device on a carrot and you cut it, it actually sends off an electrical charge so minute that you could just record on this machine. That's pain. It's pain. The carrots are in pain. It's a living thing. It's in pain.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
Well, I can see us going there. And then where do you go from when you give up on vegetarianism and you really can't grab wheat because it hurts the plant?
Soylent Green.
Yeah, we have to just recycle ourselves. There's enough dead.
Oh, what a great movie, huh?
It actually was one of my favorite movies. So,
was that Charlton Heston in that?
Yeah, and Edward G. Robinson.
Soylent Green is us. But the other thing is that, you know, I always wondered something about vegetarians. Have you met these vegetarians that won't eat any meat, but they'll eat fish?
Pescatarians.
But that's a lot of vegetarians, right? They'll eat fish.
Until they get to vegan or whatever you want to call them, there's a variety of them. Some of them they'll drink milk and some of them won't. Some of them will eat cheese and some of them won't. Some of them will eat eggs and some of them won't. Some of them will eat fish and some of them won't. If they're vegans, they don't eat any of that stuff.
Right.
From what I can tell, all they eat is Cinnabons.
Cinnabons, that horrible square stuff that they serve to make it feel like meat over at Whole Foods.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff is crunchy and gross. But there's another diet they have, the no eyes diet. Don't eat anything with eyes.
Huh.
So I said to this guy, I said, you don't eat anything with eyes. What about potatoes?
There's the gotcha question.
Yeah, I said, what about potatoes? Oh, we eat potatoes. They have eyes.
It's not really an eye. It's a root. They just call it an eye.
Right.
So they don't eat fish. They wouldn't eat anything but starch.
Right. What about ginger?
What about ginger?
It has an eye in it.
Yeah.
Wynn Resorts, horrible earnings and cutting their dividend. This was interesting. Terrible earnings. Absolutely awful. The stock has been on if you look at the chart, I think it was at $250, and it's like cut in half over the last year or so. This company is actually cutting their dividend from $1.50 to $50. Very rarely do you see that these days.
I've never seen it.
You've seen companies
cut. Or haven't noticed it.
You only see dividend cuts in very significant situations where companies are bleeding or during major market downturns. Sometimes utilities do it. You'll see it maybe with you definitely saw this with some of the oil companies that were paying dividends. But you don't see it on a company like a Wynn Resorts, particularly when the owner, Steve Wynn, is a big beneficiary of this. As a matter of fact, each November, he usually pays a special dividend that's pretty substantial. But this is, I think, showing how massive the slowdown is really occurring in China, and particularly in Macau. A lot of the issue about government officials getting bribes and paying off things and doing all that, that they would go over to Macau and spend their money, but and they've been cracking down on that and cracking down on money.
Well, the new guy, the Xi character, the guy who's running the country, he's gone on to a massive...
Is that General Chow?
I can never get his name. Yeah, Chow. Anyway, he's gone on to a massive anti-corruption program.
Yeah.
And he sees Macau as rife.
Yeah, it is.
So, Yeah, I'm sure it is. It always has been. It's nothing new. And so he goes after, he's going after these big, you know, the Sands, LVS, Macau is just as susceptible and Wynn. And then there's, I guess, a couple other players in there, even though those two guys are the big ones. And they're getting killed.
Yep. So we'll see what happens with the casinos. Also, Las Vegas has been slowing down significantly. Las Vegas Sands has a bigger footprint in Singapore. They have that big old horrendous ugly, you've seen this building, it looks cool.
No.
It's enormous, it looks like a ship, it's truly enormous, and on top of it there's a pool, and there's a it looks gorgeous when you're looking at these cool pictures, these aerial photos.
Yeah,
when you get there though, I found it to be horribly,
or you went there.
Yeah, it was terribly ostentatious. I don't mean just ostentatious Vegas style ostentatious, I mean just big and just overwhelmingly large and kind of just ugly. But I went to the roof. It's called the
Marina Bay Sands.
Yes, the Marina Bay Sands. It has a cool view. When you stand on the rooftop, you have a nice view of around. There's a really cool view of a golf course that is a nighttime golf course, and this really good botanical garden that's really cool over the water right there. But it's just I think it's an eyesore.
Those of you who have been there. Singapore,
you'd like it there.
Right.
Singapore's great. You know, you'd love these hawker stalls where they serve.
I've been to Singapore.
Yeah.
And I know what you're talking about.
Oh, that's a great food.
Well, the pictures are pretty.
That's what I said. But put in perspective, just back up for a second and look how big it is. Just massive in the middle of Singapore. Singapore's a little bitty island. And you got this gigantic, massive resort in the middle of it.
With it looks like it has a rooftop garden.
Yeah, rooftop garden. Beautiful view from up there. There's a pool there. Very pretty, but once you're inside, I thought it was just too big.
Mm. It's got a canal in it, just like the Venetian.
Yeah. I was at the Venetian. I didn't go on the canal. I thought it was kind of stupid.
No, you don't want to go on the canal. You look like an idiot.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like, really? If you're going to do it, go to Venice. And I mean, otherwise you look like an absolute... a spectator. Total.
Every once in a while you see a couple, because I guess, you know, I don't think any guy has ever volunteered this, but you know, oh, we've got to go on it. You promised to take me to Venice and this is the next best thing.
Yeah.
So they get on the thing and they go around and everybody mocks them as they go by.
Yeah.
Point at them, take pictures, laugh.
Yep.
It's a humiliation.
It is. Maybe that's why they do it.
Well. Yeah.
Did you switch over to the Correspondents' Dinner? Did you watch it? I'm sure you did.
No, I missed it.
Oh, did you watch any of it? Did you watch any of the reruns?
No, I missed it. I just missed it. I just flat out missed it. It was a mistake. Because I always enjoy it. It's funny.
Look up.
And I like to see who's there because there's always somebody I know there, and I'm going, why don't they get in?
Yeah. Well, you should look up when you have a moment to look up the Correspondents' Dinner Anger Translator. It was.
Adam played that on the show.
Oh, did yeah? It was kind of funny.
No, I thought it was racist.
It was very racist. That's what was funny about it.
Well,
okay. They started out with now hold on to your lily white butts.
Yeah, it's just uncalled for.
Well,
I found it offensive.
Yeah, the opposite would never work though.
What's the opposite?
Well, if you're playing to a crowd and a white guy's up there and says, "All right, all you black people."
You know, of course it wouldn't.
Oh, you can't. That's it. So you can stop right there. It's all over. Nobody laughs. But it was some funny things in there and some interesting humor. But all right, if you didn't see it, let's just move on. How about it? Privacy issues. We talked about the whole Twitter issue. And I'm getting back to my whole thesis that the ability for us to have all this wonderful data in the cloud and, you know, have everything on our phones and lack of cash, which is seemingly being attacked these days, or not lack of cash, but not using cash, not allowed to use cash for certain things.
Illegality of cash.
Yeah, the illegality of cash. This whole thing, guys getting on there, see what it says? It's legal tender, but blah, 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 blah. You know, that's important. I think it's really important. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, the idea, there's one, where's the place? It's in... Now, where was the place that they couldn't use cash? There was one in North Carolina. Anyway, there was somewhere that, or some
parts of Europe.
Is that what, parts of Europe? Okay, well that's okay. Their cash isn't worth much anyway. But what's happening now is I'm still concerned about the fact that everything that we do, whether it's credit cards, whether it's payment, whether it's data, whether it's email, is still so susceptible to outside, you know, confiscation by others. And then, you know, you have all the identity theft. I still think, I really do believe that this is going to be a major downfall. And then we just get into the Twitter leak. Now, I did see an interesting commercial from Discover Card. Now, this may be something that just was a great commercial, but you have an app that you can just load up and push a button to freeze your Discover Card.
Yeah, no, I saw this ad.
That was good, right?
Seems like a good idea, like necessary.
Yeah. Now, my luck, when I do that, all of my automatic things that have to be paid will probably be paid right that moment, and they'll all fail, and I'll have all sorts of repossessions. But what this basically does is an app that if you lose your card, leave it somewhere, whatever it may be, you can push the button and say, freeze, no more payments are good on this account, versus, I guess, making a simple call, because that will just shut it all down. And then you can unfreeze it when you either find your card or when you want to use it, or maybe you gave it to somebody like your kid and they're using it, and you may freeze it for a little while until they show they can be a little bit more responsible or whatever it is. I thought that was kind of a neat thing that you can actually have control over some of that, because other than that, there's not much control you have over all these credit cards and all, right?
Well, if you call the bank and you get a hold of somebody, you have pretty good control.
Yeah, but you can't just temporarily freeze it. It's like, okay, fraud, it's off. Throw out your cards, wait 2 days, you get a new card in the mail.
Well, yeah.
So speaking about problems and all sorts of social issues, this whole hoopla in Baltimore is kind of interesting. I don't know if you read about all the things that went on. Supposedly they put this guy in ankle cuffs, put him into a back of a paddy wagon of sorts, and drove him around at over a bump, slammed him back and forth, and he kind of got all messed up in the back.
Yeah, they broke his back bouncing him around.
Yeah,
I mean, that's an old cop's trick. You've heard of it. You've seen that. They do it on TV shows.
Right. They put him in the trunk.
The trunk is not as bad as being in a van. Especially if they put you on a gurney and then they start pulling this stunt where they go back and forth and make you fly around inside the back of it to shut you up. That's what happened.
Yeah.
And then now they got everybody's, then they had the outside agitators, and that's a mess. Of course, it does cover up the Hillary Clinton scandal.
Well, that's what it was from. That's why it was. That was the paid commercial interruption. Don't you think?
I don't think it was. I think The news media saw it as an opportunity. I don't think anyone actually planned it that well. It just was too well orchestrated, if so.
So I live in the Miami area, and you remember the riots that were down here in Overtown? It was bad riots. And there's riots in L.A., with the Rodney King thing, and there's now this whole deal in Baltimore. They burned down. I have a question that I've never really understood, and I think you're the right guy to answer this for me.
I doubt it.
Yeah. So when there is a thing that goes on that is disturbing to a community, and they start erupting in anger, and then they destruct their own town, they put it on fire, they loot the area, et cetera, right? You follow what I'm saying here?
Yeah, we've seen it everywhere. We've seen it in Detroit. We've seen it all over.
I don't understand why they don't just step over to the next town over.
And wreck that town.
Because I was thinking about, what is this like? And the only thing I could think of is that if I was upset with myself, it's like me punching myself in the face, my own face. I mean,
it's like the guys who punch the wall and break their hand.
Yeah, I don't get it. I don't understand it. It would seem that they're so angry they want to take it out of something. Go burn something else somewhere else. Don't ruin your own town is the whole idea that, hey, there's a great opportunity. We could burn down the town. Insurance will come in and make it even better. I just don't understand the whole thing. Because now, after this whole deal is done and everybody's all, fine, all that, now you got to go to your fire-ridden homes.
Yeah, it's a mess.
You can't get a television anywhere.
Stores have been looted.
Yeah, they're all looted. You can't get any kind of drug. And then it takes a long time to rebuild. I don't understand the whole thing. Okay. I was also thinking about Iran with what's gone on. A U.S. naval destroyer was sent to the area in the Straits of Hormuz where Iranian warships confronted a Marshall Islands flag cargo ship. And we're trying to be friends with Iran and hopefully get them to calm
down. This is another covered up story, by the way.
Nobody talked
about this at all. It came in as a news feed on a crawler on CNN, for example, why they consistently talked about Baltimore, and there's nothing going on in Baltimore right now. It's just there are a bunch of people milling around, but they'd rather do that story because they'd get different people to come on and say various things. But they have nobody to say anything about this takeover of the Marshall Islands vessel. And I'm hearing there was another vessel also taken. It was an American-flagged vessel.
But yeah, exactly.
You don't know. They're not reporting on it from what I can tell.
Well, the Defense Department, when this news item came out this morning, the markets actually swooned on this. It was
Oil went up, I think, a bit.
Oil went up nicely. It spiked. We saw that the markets came in, and then it was, you know, the Defense Department, no, this is not really going on, which, you know, how do you prove that? But I was just wondering, why are we still involved in trying to make friends with Iran when they are just crapping all over us?
Well, we don't know what they're doing because the news media doesn't cover anything properly. So we don't know that they're crapping on us or not crapping on us or stealing boats or throwing sticks. We don't know. It's just poor coverage. We don't have any clue what's going on. Hmm. We're left in the dark as a public.
Hmm. Well,
I mean, if you want to believe some of the stuff they say, the news, the mainstream media says, yeah, go ahead, but it's risky.
Well, it seems that the Great Recession has taken a heavy toll on the fertility of Americans' young adults. New study shows that many young adults, particularly the millennials,
shooting blanks.
Yep. Well, no, that really affected it. That really physical harm. No, they're deciding to have a much later start when they're having children. Now, at the same time, I think this dovetails into the same discussion, is that home ownership is at a 25-year low, which you got to kind of look at the statistics here, but the home ownership rate is calculated as a percentage of households that hold the home in which they live. So in other words, they...
Yeah, well, the kind of kids that can afford to get into the home market, even with help, they're usually college educated, and then too many of them have been suckered into the college scam where they jack up the tuition so you have to take out a loan, and you have once you take out the loan, you're stuck forever. This is the whole thing, the whole college scene and the workforce and the combination of the two is outrageous and should have been illegal. But the government, it's not only not illegal, but the government's involved. And now we had that situation where some school locally around here, some Heal College, which I had no idea was now owned by Corinthian Educational Systems. Heal College is like a business school that's been in California since 1856, I believe, as they have it on their logo. But they're not even owned by them anymore. They're owned by this conglomerate, this educational conglomerate. And they shut down one of those campuses, even though they promised they weren't going to take any more students and graduate the students that were still there. But they had to say somebody, some bean counter came along and said, let's just shut this down. Screw them. And then they repaid anyone who took out a college loan or they forgave the college loans that were taken out through HEALD, which I guess has their own program. But they refuse to do anything about the government loans. And so everyone who took out a government loan is now $25,000, according to one guy, in debt minimum. And they got nothing out of it.
This is a part of COCO. This is a Corinthian college that went out of business. They shut it all down this week. Is that what you're saying?
No. They shut down the number of the schools. I don't think they shut the whole company down.
Corinthian College was shut down this week.
The whole thing?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains it.
COCO, COCO is the symbol. Take a look at that.
They're
horrific.
Shorted.
Yeah, that was ugly. There was a lot of guys shorting. You know, there's Apollo, there's Corinthium, there's five or six of these for-profit colleges that really got themselves into big trouble with their recruitment tactics as well as their very aggressive sales tactics and getting people in with the loans, like you said, even worse than the nonprofit school system.
Oh, right now, it's trading for one penny.
That's pretty amazing.
That might be a reverse of whatever.
It's out of business.
I know a guy. Okay, well, that's what happened to these kids.
Yep.
I don't know how they could forgive the loans then, so that doesn't sound right either. So I think that's part of the story is bogus.
Yep. Back to the top of news media sucks. All right, New Jersey, New York, Long Island has the second lowest home ownership rate. That's because nobody can afford the damn things. Bakersfield with the third lowest. Las Vegas Paradise, I guess it's a city paradise, as the fourth lowest with 53%. Fresno, the fifth lowest, and San Fran, Oakland, and Fremont, sixth lowest with 54%. But the only thing is, again, this is, you know, the old statistics game, right? You look at the chart that I gave you there.
Indeed.
So what this looks like to me, this is a chart that just simply goes from 1984 back all the way to 2014. You look at the home ownership rate, which sunk a bit from 84 to, we'll say, 1994. That's when rates were really high for a while there in the early 80s and moved up. But then we started sinking down. But then all of a sudden they started skyrocketing from 1994 to 2004, 2005. And if you look at this chart, you can say, oh, man, if the first of the news is home ownership, you know, the rate, the percent of people that own homes, et cetera, is, wow, it's been dropping. It's the lowest it's been in 20-something years.
This chart doesn't look right.
Well, what's wrong with it?
Well, there's a couple of things. How did it get to 69%? Well, of course, we're at a baseline of 64.5. Never mind. This is one of those charts that looks exaggerated because the baseline is...
It only has 3 points in between all of it.
Yeah. It looks like it's like 1,000 points. But yes, 3 points. Never mind. Never mind. I'm sorry about that and the Corinthian College thing. Both.
But the thing
I apologize for the show, ladies and gentlemen.
But the thing is that if you look at this, it looks almost like, well, things are back to normal. It's not that... It's at the lowest it's been in 20 years. It's that it's back to normal. It spiked up artificially through the 2000s when everybody was just buying houses like crazy.
Well, yeah, that's when they had the mortgage crisis, right? Because they were giving mortgages away to everybody. So 3% of the public, I guess, picked up on this. Hey, let's buy a house.
Right.
And they did.
Right. Exactly. So.
And then it's back to, yeah, right. It's back to pretty much normal.
Yep. Now, consumer confidence.
The baseline being 64.5% of the public owns a house.
Mm-hmm.
Or owning a house in the process.
Which is, I don't think that's so low.
I hope we're not getting back. Very good. And in the Bay Area, where there's a shortage of property and houses and people have to live out in the middle of nowhere, prices are way up. Way up.
Yep. Consumers' confidence proved surprisingly weak in April, according to a reading from the conference board, which was out this morning. The consumer confidence index came at 95.2, which is not terribly low, by the way. But 102.5 was expected, and last month it was at 101.4. So, you know, this just blows the whole idea that, well, retail is going to boom because gas prices are down and all this, and consumers are all happy. And so something's a little bit amiss here in April. Looks like consumers have backed off a bit. But proof's in the pudding. We'll see.
Why do you think? I mean, you think that with the gas prices dropping to half of what they were.
Right.
And you could fill up a tank for, it used to be like $90 for, you know, a reasonable size tank to fill it up. And now it's like 45. So you have 45 extra dollars. What are you doing with it?
Well, maybe their taxes were higher this year. Maybe. And they got all pissed off.
That's one thing.
I know, the weather.
Well, it doesn't explain what you're doing with the money.
No, I have no idea. There's no reason to really think of anything other than the fact that they're finicky. And maybe it was just too high previously.
Maybe they're not buying anything because there's nothing good to buy.
That could be. The only thing you want to buy is the Apple Watch. Nothing else out there. Although, it seems that GoPro earnings came out. We were short GoPro, unfortunately, into this earnings. Earnings came out. They beat on the top and bottom. Stock was initially up about 10% right on the earnings and came way down. Dropped about 5%. Hmm. And you kind of wait a little bit while longer at 5 p.m. The company came out with their earnings guidance, which was pretty impressive, I thought, for all the competition they have. They came out with a couple of points like, oh, we're one of the number one channels on YouTube and we have like all these Twitter followers and we have all these Facebook likes. I'm thinking, is that really going on in a conference call about earnings? Talking about this stuff that's ridiculous. Like, who cares?
A lot of suckers listening to that and going, that's great.
Oh, you have 10 million Facebook likes. Oh, my God, and they're all real. Ah, I got to be good company. I got to buy the stock.
They're obviously real when there's 10 million of them.
So the company actually ended up, I think it closed the after hours at about up 14%. Their numbers were, if they are going to actually be those numbers, much better than anticipated.
Mm.
So all the competition, the show me camera and all that, so far not making a big dent, although the stock is still down about 40% from its high. Now, I wanted to step into a discussion that may piss some people off. At first, I was starting to think about this whole, you know, oh, we must have more women as CEOs. Now, just to let you know, I'm an equal opportunity cynic. So we could easily substitute this discussion with, oh, everybody's talking about more men as CEO. So all the women that are going to get in the feathers in a ruffle here, just can we just talk about this for a second? All right, I said that. Now, more women as CEOs. And I started thinking about CEOs. I started thinking about the CEOs out there and, you know, how they're doing. Or CEOs that have been there and how they're doing. So I started, names that just came to me. Like a Carly Fiorina. Was she a good CEO?
No, not really.
No. Marissa Meyer?
I mean, she argues that she is. Marissa Meyer wants to sell the company, rumor has it.
Oh.
And get out smelling like her rose. But she was never really groomed to be a CEO. I don't know why they made her a CEO. A lot of people just like her because she's smart. She's a smart girl.
Cute. She's got a cute kind of...
Well, she's pretty. She's very elegant. She's a photogenic.
Gina Rometty?
Well, this is your bailiwick. She's the one who was, you know, doing the stock buybacks, keeping IBM afloat. If you wanted, if you're just going to judge these women by whether the stock is up or down, you'd have to give Gina a plus, even though she looks like kind of, I don't know, I have no faith in her, right? She's ruining the company, but she might not be.
Meg Whitman?
Meg Whitman, I don't know if she's a good CEO or not. I don't know what she's doing. She's not one of those types that brags about being the CEO. And these are women that you name here, by the way, are massive, giant corporation CEOs. And you left the General Motors girl out.
Oh, forgot about that one. That's a good point.
And there's others. There's plenty of women CEOs that are running huge operations. But meanwhile, of course, the media looks, oh, Sheryl Sandberg, who's not a CEO, and far as I can tell, doesn't really do any work for Facebook. She just writes her book and goes out, and she's an activist.
She leans a lot. She's doing a lot of leaning.
She's an activist.
Yeah.
And
activist for women.
Yeah, she's an activist for women.
Yeah.
Right.
So there was, now that everybody's all, well, the women are all pissed off at us for just
even talking
about this.
Most of the women are aware of what's really going on.
Well, there was a study, once I looked into this, I was kind of, because a few of these I started thinking about, IBM, and, you know, like you said, what's your name from GM, Carly Fiorina, I never really cared for her as a CEO, Meg Whitman.
Too glib.
Yeah. So here's what I found. The S&P 500, this is just the S&P 500 companies, but these are the large companies that have female CEOs have outperformed S&P 500 companies with male CEOs over the last year. 19.5% the stock performance versus 14.9%. Now, there's some discussion that goes into this that talks about how the female-run companies are bigger targets for activist investors, thinking that they can get over on or maybe endear themselves or whatever the heck they're thinking to female CEOs, where the male CEOs will be like, get out of my face, we're not dealing with this. I'm not saying that that's what I believe. I'm just telling you what some stories I've read. But I thought it was interesting that...
Well, there's one element of this that needs to be... This is not a pure... this is a generalization, but it's not pure. In other words, this doesn't apply to all the women. But many of the women, that are CEOs are involved in... technology companies in one way or another. I would include General Motors, which I believe could be called a technology company. The rest of them that we named here are all technology companies, and technology companies have a bit more potential to make a bigger move than some, you know, than Alcoa, for example, which is not run by a woman. And so I think this is an unfair comparison.
So the comparison, the results would have to be more so in line.
Everything would have to be buffered, or there's a, I forgot the word I'm looking for, but it would have to be, there'd have to be some factor. It had to be factored. The business they're in and its normal growth rate under all circumstances would have to be factored in. And so you'd get a point something credit in a way. In other words, you'd be knocked down if you made, HP go crazy with stock and everything else. Because it's likely that a computer company or a tech company is more likely that they would do well in boom conditions than some drag along company like Elko or mining company.
I would tend to agree.
I think this is just a bad analysis, and I think and it's not that the women can't do a good job, and the fact that they can run these tech companies, which is a harder business to run than many things that are just established, I think is a plus. But I'm not buying the rest of it.
I guess the thing is that I'm much more inclined to do away with all this crap about more or less women or men involved in this or that. Just have the right person for the job. Because it seems to me that this whole movement of, oh, we need more women as CEOs and women at the top, and all, and then what happens is that many of these companies start like feeling the pressure, and they start getting involved in a situation where they're, what's the word I'm looking for? Where you have to fill up quotas.
They feel obliged.
No, but there's a word where schools will have to take it.
Right.
Equal, not equal.
Quotas.
It's not quotas. It is quotas, but it's where you have to have
affirmative action.
Affirmative action. Thank you very much. You have affirmative action. You know, in the it's just crap. Whatever. All right, moving along. We have a certain time limit tonight that we need to be involved with. By the way, how's the drought? Are you feeling?
It rained the other day.
Oh, so is it over?
No, the drought's still here, and it'll never be over. This is the desert state. Everyone's all shocked about these droughts. You know, it either pours rain or it doesn't rain for years. It's a desert state.
Well, you need to be careful because Jerry Brown has now increased the maximum penalty for wasting water to $10,000 per day.
The courts threw a lot of that out.
Really?
Yeah, they were going to do a tiered thing. So if you used X number of gallons a day and then you used twice as much, then you'd get fined. And the court said, no, you can't do it. It's a rate per gallon. Period. You can't have, you know, you can't have, it's just for, I guess state law doesn't allow this sort of thing.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, that's great.
But
I mean, everybody tries to conserve. I conserve. I use gray water to water my flower beds.
Where do you get that from?
You know, from the sink. You're rinsing out a bunch of stuff, and then you at some point, like for example, when you make basmati rice, you got to rinse it.
Yeah, that's true. Otherwise, oh, yeah. Okay, I'll go with that.
Oh. It's going to taste like crap.
Uh-huh.
And then you have to boil it. But basmati rice is tricky. Nobody seems to know how to make it. And so when you're making it, you do have a lot of extra water that you're dumping out because you're rinsing the pile of rice and you're dumping it out. You take that water that you're dumping out and put it in a bottle or something and take that bottle and throw it out. All it is rice dust and talc or whatever is on there and some, I don't know, dust from Pakistan. And you put it on the flowers. That's just recycling instead of going down the drain, which it normally would do.
Aha. That's good to know. So basmati
like
rice
water. To me.
And how are the plants doing?
And I feel better. I feel so much better.
That's good.
The plants are doing fine.
Yeah. So that's all that matters. Because we wouldn't want to hurt them because as we discussed earlier with carrots, they have feelings.
Yeah, right. You especially know? The little flowers.
Yeah. All right, let's talk about some other things and get to the stocks. I want to mention a few oddball news items that came across today that I thought were important for us to get out, okay? Number one, in Beijing, China's cracking down on strippers who perform at rural funerals.
Yeah, I was talking about this at the dinner table. Somebody looked into it.
The Ministry of Culture said on Thursday they're taking aim at performances it describes as illegal and which corrupt social morals. I'm not sure what the deal is with the strippers, but it would seem to me that probably not strippers. They're probably some kind of a ceremonial undressing of sorts.
No. What it was is that they to get more people to come to a funeral, and there's some benefit, either a tax benefit or there's something that's you show more face. Some years ago, the Chinese came up with the idea of bringing entertainers to the funeral to draw people into the funeral. So they had singers and dancers, and it's deteriorated to these strippers. And it really is nothing. The way it's being described apparently is pretty bogus.
So maybe what they should do is be better people and more people would come to the person's funeral.
Well, that, yeah, that would be a better way to do it. But
well, speaking about some of this nudity, leaders in L.A. in the Beach District of Venice have asked that women, this is great, that women be allowed to sunbathe nude on the beach, saying that they want equality. and a more European feel at the popular tourist destination.
Yeah.
By the way, I think there's something to this equality thing. Now that we're talking about it, I mean, you know.
Well, men get to wander around their shirts off.
Yeah.
It's really about being topless more nude.
I think this is a very reasonable thing to ask.
But I would say, you know, if guys are going to walk around bare-chested, and women want to walk around. It's not like anyone's forcing them, but if they want to walk around bare-chested, which could sometimes not be a good thing, They have every right in the world. And if the guys do, it seems to me, this is equality. I think it's the worst sort of hypocrisy to, you know, well, that's women's rights, women's rights. Oh, so I put the top on, lady.
I think we should have more female CEOs that go topless. What do you think?
And the email address is yeah. Andrew at Horowitz, I think. I don't know what you got.
In Copenhagen, Denmark passed, this is pretty disgusting, Denmark passed legislation on Tuesday banning bestiality, toughening a law that that animal rights activists feared and were encouraging animal sex tourists to visit the country.
Wow, animal sex tourists.
Yeah, the animal sex tourism is, I guess, bopping in Denmark.
I never heard this story. I never knew this.
I
but do they have special clubs? Or
I know, we should look up, like, what would that be? What are those tours?
Sex tours for the pedophiles in the Philippines.
No, but what is that? What is the tour groups that, you know, you can you always see the buses?
Gray Line Bus.
We have tours of the capitals. We have the Rhine cruise. We have the sheep sex attic adventure. Pretty gross. And lastly, I went to a golf truck club for lunch today. And I want to tell you something. I was horrified. Had lunch and then was going over to a table to say hello to some people. And there were all these elderly people were eating frozen yogurt with piles of prunes on top. And I was just kind of yucked.
You don't like prunes?
It's the idea of why they were all eating prunes. It wasn't so much that.
Hey, I got to eat the prunes.
The prunes help me. They keep me regular. Boy. They keep me regular. I got to tell you something. The older people that I know, the more conversation they are having about their bowel movements. Have you noticed this? And the older people, absolutely.
I scold people when they start talking about their health.
I've been talking to people, and all of a sudden they're all. So I'm not going to mention.
They got a crap. I'm not getting the crap enough. I've used to crap 2 times a day, right on time, at noon and 6.
I'm not going to embarrass anybody that I know, but there's an elderly gentleman who I know who called me up and says, I have not been able to defecate yet.
I said, why is he telling you?
I don't know, like I'm going to help. I have no idea. I'm just telling you what's going on. Anyway, let's get to the stocks. We always end on a crappy note. Thank you. Yep. So let's get to the stocks. It's not an offer to buy or sell any security. This is not anything more than, a game that we play, picking out some stocks that maybe we think will do well. Some will, some won't. We track those on a Google spreadsheet, which you can find over on DH Unplugged. And that's available in live real time as it goes. And we have some rules like if a stock goes down by 10%, let's say, well, it stopped out. We do a trailing stop on that, meaning that if it goes up and then backtracks, well, we'll take the profit out once it moves 10% down from the high, or if we're short, 10% up from the low. And we'll put some comments on it also telling you, okay, well, why we're doing what we're doing. And, you know, maybe we have some alternative measures of when we're going to buy or how much it is for the stop, et cetera. So there you go. And the one thing that we've discussed is that in June, which is coming up in a month or so, we're going to actually kind of go through this and cull through it and get rid of some of the names.
Right. June 1.
Because right now,
because IBM, right now we're in bad shape.
We get a lot of red. It looks like a Christmas ornament.
The ones we have are big winners. We got some high 40% winners, high 30s, quick hits like the Netflix one. But then we still have a bunch of these other dogs that are just, but they're all not big dogs except for GoPro.
Well, GoPro's about to be stopped out tomorrow.
Most of the dogs are just sitting there as dead money, down 0.9. Yep. I mean, come on.
Yep.
And now, the IBM thing, which is finally maybe is moved.
It's moved up the wrong way.
Yeah, I know it moved up. How?
I don't understand it at all. It's befuddling.
All right, so
you were stopped out on Interexon.
Yeah, good.
You made 6.9%?
It's 9, yeah. They made good money.
And Zoetis and all this, but we'll kind of focus on some of the newer names on here. Anthera Pharmaceuticals, which we picked a couple of weeks ago. Went up. It did hit its $5 dinger and came back down, and we stopped out at 15.5% profit. Alcoa is sitting there doing nothing. BIS is sitting there doing nothing. I think we have very close to a stop on that, but it just scooted by. Genesea Biosciences down 7%. GoPro is going to be stopped out tomorrow. Lumber Liquidators is coming out with their earnings, I believe, tomorrow. So we'll see if there's any kind of redeeming value in this stock right now, up 7.5%.
Well, you have 7%. It could go up again. Apple. Seattle Genetics is somewhat disappointing to me. But I think there's a, everyone was backing off of these pharmaceuticals, especially the biotechs, right after I got in on a couple of these, and they all backed off. I still think it's a good investment because these are merger acquisition deals that we're talking about.
Yeah, they
but they've all backed off.
Yeah, they have this kind of like everybody wants them, then nobody wants them. You know, recently, right. Last few days, everybody's like, get out of here.
Me on this list holding the bag. Luckily, I said to you, if you remember a number of weeks ago, I said, I'm not going to buy any more of these, even though there's still insider buying going on because I've already was, I was too heavy. I think I had three of them at one point.
The Doug is doing well. Oil is trying desperately to break the $58 barrier, which it just can't seem to do. The API numbers that came out on Tuesday night were not positive. A lot of inventory build. We had, remember we had those 10 and 11 million barrel builds per week that were happening recently? Well, I think it was last week, the build was only like 1 million. So everybody's like, wow, that's exciting. But we just see that the numbers came out pretty ugly. And 10:30 tomorrow morning on Wednesday, we'll see the next number, which will be the official DOE numbers that come out, Department of Energy. And we'll tell us what the numbers are because it doesn't seem like anybody is stopping in terms of the building. The other thing is, congratulations for your Netflix. You bought it pre-earnings, like a day before earnings, and Netflix went bananas on the earnings number. Up huge. 17% gain on that. Very nice.
Yeah, quickie. Nice quick hit.
Yep.
It'd have been a good one to play an option on.
And they still haven't. Remember we talked about they had that massive share increase request in or vote or whatever they did. And that we still haven't seen any kind of a indication of a potential split. So we'll see what's going on with that. There was a big they did very well when it came to their international viewership and, you know, add-ons, et cetera. That's what everybody looks for is the ads. Not the advertising, the ads in terms of new users or, you know, new people coming on paying their whatever it is, $12 a month. Do you have Netflix?
Yeah, of course. Everybody does.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. Everybody's got Netflix. Everybody's got an Apple phone.
Not me.
Yeah, I know
you. Well, I do. I have a fake one.
That doesn't count. All right, so what do you have for this week? I have nothing for this week because I got to tell you
something. I have one thing and one thing only. There's a couple of things I was looking at. There was a guy. Let's see if I can find this again. My cheat sheet. There was some guy, but he's been buying into the low. I mean, this guy's been buying down. One of the directors of, and it's a biotech, Akebia Therapeutics, which is AKBA. This guy, I guess Munsir Sutter, I don't know what his name is, Sattler, something. He's been buying down. I looked at his record and he's been buying it. Every time he buys it, it goes down again. Then he goes, buys. He's buying into a collapse. So I don't trust this guy. Mm. But this little other one, which is a penny stock, which has some insider buying going on, Meat, M-E-E-T is the symbol, and it is a...
that's not a biotech.
It's actually got earnings.
It's Meat. Isn't that the... that's not a U.S.-based, is it? I think it was an IPO, too. Hold on a second. I'm going to pull this up. Meat, M-E-E-T.
It stands for Meat Me.
Yeah, Meat Me. Where can I find this?
Well, it's down to $1.76. And there's two groups buying it. One group is called Mexican and Americans. Now, I don't know what that
this is. I think this is one of these social media deals.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Let me find out what exactly it does. Meet Me. Okay. Meet Me is a social media technology company. The company owns and operates meetme.com. How funny. And its social network...
Never heard of them.
Yeah, for meeting people on both the web and on mobile platforms, including iPhone, Android, iPad, and tablets, that facilitates interactions amongst users. In other words, it's a porn site. The company monetizes through advertising, virtual currency, and paid subscriptions. It provides users with access to an expansive multilingual menu of resources that promote social interaction, information sharing, and other topics of interest to users. The company has approximately 5.5 million monthly active users on an average per month in the fourth quarter of 2013. Yeesh. The company offers online marketing capabilities, which enables marketers to display their advertisements in different formats and in different locations. The company works with its advertisers to maximize the blah, 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 blah. They have their competition is Facebook, Twitter, Google, LinkedIn, Yahoo, Weibo. I was gonna actually short Weibo. That's interesting. I may look at that. Weibo is the Twitter of China.
Right.
Twitter down 20%. Renren's the same kind of thing.
Well, I don't see this going much further down. I mean, it has been pretty low to $1.40, but it's $1.75 or so. And I went with a 15% stop loss on it. I think it's a good penny stock to look at, and I am in.
Okay, they're from New Hope, Pennsylvania. All right, we're going to end it right there. We got a 15% stop, 15% stop. And this is dash buyers, insiders, right? Okay.
Yeah, pretty
insiders. Okay, well, we'll get that up, and I will see you next week. I know you got a hard stop at a certain time, so we're going to respect that and have you go off to finish up, obviously, which is your final soaking of your basmati rice.
And into the garden. All right.
I'll see ya.
Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye-bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pocket, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a man. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.